Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this course, looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in these gifts, they can be broken up into three different categories: the gifts of utterance, gifts of power, and gifts of revelation. In the last course, we went over the gift of the word of knowledge. Tonight, we're going to go over the gift of the word of wisdom. One of my teachers shared this story that there was a pastor who was actually up on a roof doing some work on a roof, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to him and said, "Get down off the roof and go over to so-and-so's house, because so-and-so has called a meeting, and in that meeting they're going to vote you out of the office of being their pastor." So he got down off the roof and he went over to so-and-so's house. And sure enough, he gathered most of the leaders from the church, and he had told them that he was going to have a prayer meeting. And so they had all thought they were coming to have a prayer meeting. And they'd all gathered, and they were pulling up chairs all around in a circle. And then, sure enough, here walks in the pastor. And then the man that had called the meeting started to fumble around a little bit. And the pastor addressed him and said, "I know what you're doing. The Lord told me to come over here. You've gathered this group, and that you're going to vote me out." And the man that had called the meeting said, "I didn't tell anyone what I was going to do and the reason why I'd called this meeting." And he said, "That must be God, and I must be wrong." And they broke up the meeting. So he didn't even follow through with it. So what God was doing in that was using a word of wisdom to reveal, because this is a gift that reveals something, of something that was about to occur, that was not the plan of God, and God wanted that an intervention so that that did not come to pass. So then, of course, then, you know, the man repented and realized he'd been wrong, and everything got resolved. That's an illustration of the word of wisdom in operation. It's for God's glory, and it's so that the plans of God can come to pass. Let's look at then this gift, which is a gift of revelation, the gift of the word of wisdom. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." And we talked about that would actually be gifts of healing, and the word gifts and healing is actually plural in the Greek, so it's gifts of healings. So we're going to look at the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom could be defined this way: it's a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God. And the difference between the word of knowledge, just talked about, and the word of wisdom is that the knowledge, word of knowledge, is about present or past. And the word of wisdom is regarding future. A word of wisdom is about the future. And out of all the gifts, because we talked about this also, that the Bible tells us to earnestly desire the greater gifts. Out of all the gifts, the greatest gift of these nine is the gift of the word of wisdom. Now, isn't that interesting? Greater than the working of miracles, than special faith, than gifts of healings. Why? Because it is revealing what's in the mind of God, the plan of God, and the purpose of God. And that is the greatest gift. Let's go ahead and look at an example of that. And you can turn to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at Ananias. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 16. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he was a layman," meaning he didn't stand in an office of prophet or anything like that. He was a layman. He was a person in the church. "And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, here am I, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. Now here's where we get into word of wisdom. Go. He is a chosen instrument of mine that's revealing something. And now it's going to reveal something that's about the future. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. In verse 11, when he's told to go to the street called Straight, that's a word of knowledge. It's revealing where. Here's the actual name of the street. Here's where I want you to go. Present tense. This is it. Revealing a fact. But now he's saying what he's called to do down here in verse 15. And then verse 16, word of wisdom, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Again, revealing about the future. Revelation about the future. Now, also another example of a word of wisdom flowing would be when Philip was led to go to the Ethiopian eunuch and join himself to that chariot. An angel appeared to him and told him where to go, to the desert. And so he did that, and then he was told to go join himself to the chariot. And that was a word of wisdom there also. Now, there's a difference between the gift of the word of knowledge and natural wisdom. Now, sometimes somebody may think, well, how about Solomon? Solomon had wisdom. Yes, Solomon did have wisdom, but that was still a natural wisdom. This is what we're talking about in the word of wisdom, is a supernatural wisdom. So Joshua 1:8, you know that scripture where it talks about this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night and observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. That's talking about as we meditate on the word of God, we grow in wisdom and in knowledge of the word with wisdom to apply to our life, and then we can be prosperous and then we can be successful because we're applying the word. But that is still a natural wisdom. It's naturally applying the word of God to our lives. And James 1:5 talks about wisdom also, that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, and it would be given to all men liberally, or to any man that asks. Now there, it's talking about that wisdom being given to any or to all. But the wisdom in the gifts of the Spirit, it says to one is given the word of wisdom. Do you see the difference there? So there's a wisdom, a natural wisdom for our lives that we can all, and I'm going to say this, believe for and ask for. But when it comes to the word of wisdom, that's not something that we activate our faith and believe that we're going to function in that. Now, we can ask God that we function and we flow in the gifts, but it is as he wills. Whereas the other type of faith, yes, faith for living your life with wisdom, yes, we can all believe for that. Do you see the difference in these? Because these gifts function as the Holy Spirit wills. Yet, at the same time, we are still encouraged to ask for them and to earnestly desire them. So we should be asking, but we are not to then try to control what the Holy Spirit will do or do through us, or to let him move as he wills. Now, the word of wisdom is different from the simple gift of prophecy because in prophecy, there is no telling of the future, not in the simple gift of prophecy. But with the word of wisdom, there's something about the future. Prophecy is for, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it tells us that it speaketh unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, you're building them up. You're encouraging them. But there's nothing about speaking of the future. But you may say, well, yeah, but what about all those prophets in the Old Testament? And weren't those prophets always speaking and foretelling and of something that was to come? Oftentimes, yes, but that wasn't when they were doing that, even though they stood in the office of prophet. They may have been prophesying, yet even in the prophecy, there was words of wisdom in it. So that gift of the word of wisdom was functioning in the prophecy. So in other words, you may have two gifts working together. In the same way where we were looking at Ananias, that the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom were flowing together. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of times when God moves, it'll be several gifts together. We're just dividing them up so that we can understand them better and look at them and study them. Kind of like we're all sitting in the church building, but we are not the church building. A word of wisdom may come through prophecy, but a word of wisdom is not prophecy. Now, a word of wisdom may come in many forms. Maybe an audible voice, a vision, a dream. It may be through the vocal gift of prophecy or tongues and interpretation. In 1989, I was asleep one night, and then suddenly I was wide awake. And when I was suddenly wide awake, I went from asleep to awake, just like that. I opened my eyes and I looked in the room and I saw an angel. There was an angel standing in my bedroom. And then the angel said, apply to school in July. And that was it. And that was the end of it. I did not know at that time what school. Brad, of course, was asleep again. But anyway. Okay. So I didn't know what school. Kind of prayed, but that was a word of wisdom, meaning I got a part. But it was just a part. It was a small part. But now because of the way it was delivered, I knew it was very important. All right? That's not an everyday occurrence. So I knew it was important. So then I started praying, seeking God. But see, a word of wisdom, you get part of the knowledge of God, part of the plan of God. And even then, I didn't know what it was, but I still knew it was important. And I still valued it and treasured it. So then you've got to seek God for the rest of it, for the rest of the plan. What are you supposed to do with that? Well, I started looking to see what schools, and to be frank, at that time I didn't know if it was going to be art school or Bible school. So I had to start praying, go, well, which school? Art school or Bible school? Then we narrowed in on Bible school. And then it was, well, now what school? And so I started praying about what schools, and I started looking at all the different schools that were around. And I looked at Fuller and Bethany and a whole bunch of different ones, and their application dates were different where it didn't fit in July. So it was helping me to kind of narrow in on this. And then I ended up narrowing in where the only one that I found, of the ones that I found, was Rhema. And then God did some other things and had some other things happen where I knew it was Rhema. Then there was another time where I got a magazine. It was happened to be the Charisma magazine. And this is, you know, some time's gone by. And it was a Charisma magazine and I was reading it. And there was this article on Brother Hagin. And it said, I think it was Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. And I read that and I thought, praise the Lord, I finally found somebody that actually believes the Bible. And there's this big article about how this guy really believes this stuff. At that point, I remember I was sitting in my backyard at the house in Burlingame, and I read that, and I thought, that's where I want to go. That's what I want to do. And then the Lord said to me, get on your knees and ask me. He doesn't usually do that with me. You know, get on your knees and ask me. And it was from that point that I realized how important that school was to him. And I did. I got on my knees and I asked him. And he sent us there. And we went. And now we're basically doing the same thing here. Now, Joseph received word of wisdom through dream. Moses received revelation in the law by an audible voice. Okay, that's how God gave it to him. Agabus in Acts 11, 28 to 30. There was a drought. So he knew to send relief. Acts 21, 10 and 11, Agabus again was addressing Paul, and he took Paul's belt and wrapped it around him and says, you know, thus the Jews will do to the man whose belt this belongs to. So what he was saying is that there was bondage in that path for Paul, if Paul went. And I don't know if they were misinterpreting the words they'd gotten from God, or if they just loved Paul so much that they didn't want Paul to have to go through anything hard. But whichever the case, they were wrong. Just because there was opposition for Paul, Paul was still supposed to go. So in this word of wisdom where this prophet knew, this is what's going to happen to you if you go, or when you go, but he was still called to go. And the good news is that Paul knew that. And he said, hey, I'm willing to even die if it should go that way for the gospel. Paul knew to go anyway. See, he didn't let those other people talk him out of it. Do you understand? Just because something was revealed that he was going to have to walk through something hard, he didn't kind of try to quit and get out of it or go another way. And see, we have to be careful that even if we get something like that, we don't think, well, that automatically assumes that I shouldn't go. if just the path is going to be hard. Do you understand? It does not mean, you don't automatically assume, well, of course that couldn't be God's will because we're victorious and we have faith and we overcome everything and we don't have to have any of that stuff. Well, hello, Paul had a lot of faith, but there was still a lot of trials and a lot of suffering. Now, he didn't suffer by sickness, but there was a lot of persecution. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked, beaten 39 times, several times, whipped 39 times. So he went through a lot for the gospel. So just this word of wisdom that came, it didn't stop him. Now, based on that, I want to share something else with you. When they were hearing this, that this is what was to come for him, some of them were trying to talk him out of going, trying to tell him not to go. And he knew to go anyway. Now, whether or not they were misinterpreting the information, or they just loved him and didn't want him to be hurt, it was still wrong what they were doing. They were trying to talk him out of the perfect will of God and the perfect plan of God, even though that was in it. Well, Jesus went through some suffering too, but aren't you glad he was willing to do it? He knew what he was in for, and he still went through that. Do you understand? He knew what he was going to go through, and he went through it. So sometimes to get the gospel to some people, apparently there's going to be some stuff that some of us may have to go through. Now, it doesn't mean sickness, but it may mean some persecution. I want to talk about delivering words, delivering whether it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. I'm going to give you some examples. This was about maybe somewhere between 15 and 18 years ago. I had a young woman come up to me and say, you're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. And I thought to myself, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. I was praying for you and you're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. So here's what I've learned to do with people, but I'm going to share this with you so that you can be careful about this. What I've learned to do is to go back to them and say, exactly what did God say? Because what I've found is a lot of people in their desire to share something they get in prayer, they misinterpret it or they deliver it incorrectly. So I went back to her and I said, exactly what did God say? And then she said, well, actually, he didn't really say anything. I saw a vision of you pregnant and you were about to give birth. And I said, oh, okay, now that is God. And I knew exactly what it meant, and that we were running a Bible study in our home at the time, and we were about to branch off and birth another one. And I knew that that was spiritual, but it wasn't natural. But see, she saw something, and then she put her own understanding on it, and then communicated. Oh, I've seen this messed up so many times. It is so important that if God reveals something to you, that you are so extremely accurate with that information. Write it down. Get it accurate. If he shows you a vision, write down the vision. If he speaks words to you, write the words down, whether it's for your life personally or if it is for somebody else's, so that you can do the justice of delivering it accurately. Do you see how misleading that is? One's one thing and one's another. One's totally wrong. Just within the last month, I had somebody else, month and a half, somebody else come up to me and say, God gave me something for you. I didn't even ask what it was. I just smiled. And then they went ahead and they told me what it is. They didn't bear witness with me at all. And I looked at them and I smiled and thought about it. I'm thinking, I don't think so. And I said to them, because it was not a good thing. And I said, are you sure? Well, yeah. I said, what exactly did God say? Is that the exact word that God used? I wrote some down. I was taking some notes, and then they showed me the exact word that God had used, which meant something totally different. And I said, now that word is right, and that is God. But what you did is you took that word that God gave you, you processed it yourself into what you thought it meant, and then you delivered your own interpretation off of it, which was wrong. And I said, you need to be very careful about doing that to people or you will mess people up. Because if they don't know what to do with it, you'll confuse them. So I said, next time you do that, you better be accurate. You give it accurate or don't do it. Do you understand what I'm saying in that? I mean, it was night and day. I'm thinking, how did you even in your thinking get from this to that? But do you see how in the other one, one went from one thing to another and it's... You know, they just think, whoa, she's going to have a baby. I wasn't going to have a baby. Not at that time. And didn't for like what? Another 8 years or something, or seven. Or, do you see what I'm saying? It's very important that we learn to be accurate. And we learn to be careful, especially in representing God. So be careful with your words and be careful what you share. Not only that, a lot of times most of it is just for you to be praying for the person anyway. Unless you know that you're supposed to share it and you're supposed to go tell them, most of the time it's for you to pray. And so then a lot of times people want to pop off and go running around because they're getting some identity out of it or some feeling like they're really special or holy, and so they go around giving words to everybody. That's hardcore to talk like that, but I've seen that happen. You know, how spiritual are you? How holy are you? Well, I've really got the gifts flowing in me, and they want to go around and just peg people like this. And, you know, you need to be very careful with that. Why? Because, number one, we're not led by prophets now anyway. We're led by the Holy Spirit, right? And so we all have the Holy Ghost on the inside. If there is something, it's only usually to confirm, and it should bear witness with you. So we want to also use humility and then go to God and ask God. Just because God shows you something, it doesn't mean you're supposed to run over and tell the person that. God may show you lots of things about lots of people, and sometimes, actually, if you will keep your mouth closed about it, he'll show you even more. Why? Because he knows that you'll stand in the gap for him and carry him through something, carry him through prayer maybe they need. Now, there are times where he will tell you to go and deliver something. There are times where he will do that. Now, I'll give you an example of something that was accurate. Somebody, now this is a word of knowledge, not a word of wisdom, because it was about present facts. One time somebody showed up on my door, this is years ago, showed up on my doorstep and said to me, God said what you're looking for is under your bed. And that was my greeting. Yeah. And I said, praise the Lord, because I knew what that meant. Because I had been looking for something, but they didn't know it. I'd been looking for something. Pastor Brad had given me some earrings. They were small. So you know how sometimes, ladies, the back can come off and then you don't know where the front went on one of them? But I thought most likely it was in my house, but I'd searched the whole house. I'd looked everywhere. But you know in carpet how they can kind of drop down in the carpet? I'd looked everywhere. So finally, I thought, this is it. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to believe God that he's going to reveal it to me. I'm going to know where it is. Now, I didn't know how he would reveal it to me, but I believed I was going to get it. And somebody shows up at my doorstep and says, it's under your bed. So I went running back to my bedroom, moved the bed over, and went digging through the carpet, and sure enough, there was my earring. Now that's accurate. That's accurate. And it had been prayed for, and it was desired, and it was a blessing. And it was a simple little thing that maybe wasn't important to really too many other people, except for the person that gave them to me, and myself, but it was important to me. I mean, it was just a little sweet thing that God did for me. Actually, it was bigger than a little sweet thing. You know what I mean? It was wonderful. Now I'm going to give you some other examples. There was one time, many years ago, where I was praying with two other ladies. And in this prayer time, when I was praying for them, I saw in this prayer time, God started moving in me. And I started realizing that there was something wrong. And when I started realizing there was something wrong, then up out of the inside of my heart came the words, tell her not to get engaged. Oh, isn't that fun? And so I knew that one of these ladies was dating somebody and had been for a little while, not really that long, not really that long at all. Tell her not to get engaged. And I thought, okay. I said, you know, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that you're not supposed to get engaged to this person. Okay, it was to that person. Doesn't mean ever. It just means to this person. And I knew that's what it meant. You're not supposed to get engaged to this person. And they looked at me and they said, we just went and picked out a ring. And I didn't know that. But see, God knew that. God knew that. So you do need to do things when God tells you to do them, because that was a word of wisdom, because God wanted to help her. And when she wouldn't listen to that, I then tried to at least counsel and say, because she, no, we're doing it, we're going forward. And because, you know, you got to present it in such a way where I said, I believe this is God. I could be wrong. I'm not perfect. I'm human. I could miss it. But this is what I believe the Lord is saying. And you've got to be pretty open-handed with it, right? Because we're not controlling. And what if we are wrong? But we're trying to be obedient and obey God. So I presented it like that, and it was rejected. And when I saw that it was rejected, and even this other lady I sat there with said, that bears witness with me, because I don't feel like you're supposed to get engaged to them either. Still, too, and it's still rejected. I just tried counseling, and I said, if you are going to go ahead and get engaged anyway, make it a very, very long engagement so that you can get to know this person. Well, they didn't. They married him, and they called me for years, crying, month after month, week after week, and I'd pray for them. I'd try to build them back up, try to love them, try to help them, try to minister to them, try to get them encouraged again. But what God was doing, and I never said, there were times where I just wanted to. If you just done what God said, it would have spared you so much pain. You know, but sometimes the hormones get going, or whatever it is that gets going, people just decide they're just set on something and they just don't want to let go of it to their own detriment. Lack of humility, lack of being teachable, just went anyway. Years later, finally, and at this point, then finally, they got a divorce. And she called me and she said, remember that prayer time? And I said, yeah. She said, I should have listened to God. It would have saved me so much. And I thought, yeah, it would have. But God will still love them, and he'll bless them as much as he can, because God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. Meaning, he will do as much as he can to bless you, no matter what kind of situation you get yourself in. But that was a word of wisdom that would have prevented her from a lot of pain. Okay? I'm going to give you several of these. Because as I was preparing this, they just popped up one right after another. Then there was another time. Now, that came by God speaking that to me. He spoke that, and then I spoke that out. Then there was another time, one night, I lived in Burlingame. This was a long time ago. And one night I had a dream, and I had a dream of somebody, and I saw them get engaged. And I was to tell them not to get engaged. This was a different person. As to tell them not to get engaged because they had a call of God on their life. And if they married that person, they wouldn't fulfill the call of God that was on their life. And so they were out of town. And so I told the Lord, okay, when they get back into town, I'll call them and I'll share this. This was a situation where, well, I still have had comments come back to me because of what I did, okay? But sometimes you just need to follow God no matter what. Because why? Because God wanted to help somebody. So I went ahead, and I was going to make, that was what I told the Lord I would do. I was going to call them as soon as I got back into town, because I didn't know a phone number to reach them where they were. And then that morning I woke up, I shared this with Brad. What do you think I should do? Because I figure he's my husband, he's got wisdom, and this was going to affect him also. And so what should I do? Let's really pray over this. You know, am I really supposed to share this? And it was, yeah. So we were going to make arrangements, and then we got a phone call, and guess what? They had just asked the person to marry them the night before. So the night I had the dream was when they asked the person to marry them. And they were at their family's house. And so they called us on the phone. Oh, and they wanted us to get all excited with them. And oh, what I felt like on the inside, my heart just sank. Because I thought, now it's even going to be harder. Because I thought this was coming before it had occurred. And now they'd already done it. Oh. So we delivered that. Now here's the deal. This was a church-going person that after he married that person, he went ahead and he married the person anyway. And I did. And I didn't say anything to them on the phone, right? Because they were at that person's house. They were celebrating. Waited till they came back into this area. Set up a meeting with them as fast as possible. Sat down with them. Explained everything. Very open-handed again. But here's what I believe the Lord wants me to share with you. That you have a call of God on your life. They were called to pastor. And that if you marry this person, you won't be able to fulfill the call of God on your life. Because they married an unbeliever. And they went ahead and married him anyway. And they have not gone to church. The person that you marry will affect your destiny. The person that you marry will affect what you can do in God. It's very important who you marry. It's very important. And I'm going to give you one other one. That came through a dream. Now here's another one. I don't know why there are just one, two, three like this, but, and this was a long time. I'm talking over a 20-year span. It's not like I'm getting this all the time. Over a 20-year span, I've gotten this for three people. Then this other person. And this one was, I perceived in my spirit. Somebody had come, they'd been with us for a while, they'd gotten saved, they'd been reading their Bible, and they were doing great, they were walking with God, went to college, met an unbeliever, called us and said, I'm going to get married. And we said, are they born again? And they said, well, they're Catholic. And I said, Catholic? does that, Catholic can be good. You know, I said, does that mean they believe in God, that they're a Christian? It was no. They're Catholic. They just kept holding on to it. They're Catholic. They're Catholic. And it just didn't bear witness in my spirit. In my spirit, there was just a sense in my spirit that this was wrong. But God didn't say anything to me. I didn't get, you know, a specific, I just knew on the inside of me, this is wrong. I perceived. I had a knowing. It's pretty easy to support that because I've got scripture to back that up. In Corinthians, it says not to be unequally yoked. Or we can say it this way, not to be bound to an unbeliever. Because what fellowship have light and darkness? What I did do is I shared that scripture with them and I said, well, if they're not born again, then here's a scripture. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. And they went ahead and married that person anyway. And they were a churchgoer. They were witnessing. They were handing out tracts left and right. Boy, they were just making a just fantastic impact in the kingdom of God and what they were doing. I was getting reports back from the college they were going to about how this person just was leaving tracts everywhere. They were finding out that I knew who this one was. And, you know, it was just what they were doing was amazing. And now, not really back to church. Not in church since marrying an unbeliever. So a lot of times people think that they want to convince themselves of it's okay or I'll influence them, but it doesn't usually go that way. Usually the unbeliever has a stronger thing on a non-believer. Now, I'm not saying that this is in all cases. I actually did hear of a case where, now I wouldn't recommend this, but I did hear of a case of a couple that had been in Santa Barbara in one of the churches we were in where God told them to marry somebody and they married them and then the person got saved later. But that's rare and it's not recommended. You know what I'm saying? But what I want to share here with you is that these were different ways of a word of wisdom flowing. And why was the word of wisdom flowing? Because it was in regard to the purpose and the plan for these individuals' lives. God cared about what they did with their life. God had a plan for their life. God had a plan for all three of them. And God wanted them walking in highest and best. And God was trying to help them walk in highest and best. So that's the word of wisdom at work, where God's, you know, trying to glorify himself and communicate his plan for somebody's life, to bless them, to help them. If people don't receive, you just go on, you praise the Lord anyway, and you just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep loving the Lord, you keep loving them, keep blessing them. But in all three cases, it's been hard and it's been sad. You know, it's been really sad, especially just knowing that God had a better way and God had a better plan. So it's important that we stay humble and that we are willing to really listen to God and that we're willing to take counsel. If it's so good and so right, then why can't you wait? If it's so good and so God. I remember when I was dating Pastor Brad. We're really on this tonight. And there was a point where, I'm not going to get into all the details, but I had to say no to some things. And when I said no to some things, he broke up with me. We weren't saved when we first started dating, right? When we first met. And he broke up with me. And I remember going home and I remember crying and crying. But there must have been something working in my heart because I prayed to God. I believe you're real and I believe you love me and I believe you have somebody good for me. And if he is supposed to be for me, then he'll come back and he'll do it your way and he'll do it the right way. And if he doesn't want to do it your way, then he's not the one for me. And I've just had to turn it over to God. I'm just going to turn this over to you, you know, and I'm going to have to just trust you. And it was hard because I really, really loved him. I really liked him and loved him. I liked him and I loved him. I mean, I really liked him, you know. I mean, there was nobody else that compared to him for me. But that was it. And I just remember thinking, I trust you, God. I trust you that if he's right, he'll come back. And sure enough, eventually, it took a little while, but, you know, he came back and he said, you're right. And I thought, well, I just have to follow God. I just have to follow God. And I've got to keep a clear conscience. There's a lot of you that are single. And you need to maybe hear some of these things to be an encouragement to you. You can trust your God. You can trust your God, that He is like your Heavenly Father, your protector, your provider, better than any dad on earth. Yes. Watching over you. Yes. He knows you inside and out, and He knows the people that you'll date inside and out. He knows the ones that will fit perfectly with your life, with the call on your life, with the desires of your heart, and He knows the ones that it's going to be just constant friction. And He'll spare you of the constant friction if you'll let Him, if you'll listen to Him. Your dad wants to watch over you. Your dad wants to protect you. Your dad wants what's best for you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can submit it to Him. You can submit the relationship to Him. You can take your time dating. You want to know why? Because if it's right, it'll be right later. And give it time and find out. Pat, Brad and I dated for 3 years. I think that's a pretty long time, especially in today's age. I'm not saying everybody has to wait that long, but it was long enough that we had to get to know each other. Well, we had to get saved. And we had to get to know each other. Okay? So you can trust your dad. You can trust your dad to protect you. That He's got somebody for you that's going to be special and wonderful and precious and treat you like gold. And don't settle for any other. That He's got somebody that'll walk with you in the call of God. That'll fulfill your heart's desires. That'll do what you want to do. That'll preach the gospel with you. That'll go from nation to nation. That won't be a weight and a chain wrapped around your foot. Because if you marry the wrong person, they are. They will hinder you. They will stop you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. And it may not be intentional. It may just be because it wasn't right. It wasn't God. You've got to hear from God. You have got to know God's will in that. It is essential. And I'm going to tell you another reason why it's essential for you to hear from your father in that. Because you don't know the hearts of men. You don't know what they're really like, but God does. He knows. He knows if somebody's abusive. He knows if somebody's an alcoholic. He knows, I'll tell you this, he'll know if somebody will lie and say they're a Christian, they'll go to church with you. I dated one guy that I remember dating him, and I liked him. I mean, fun, nice guy. And I said, well, what do you think about God? See, it kept coming up in me, even before I thought I was even saved, and I probably was saved earlier than I think. I'd ask them whenever I date, well, what do you think about God? They go, well, I don't know. I don't really believe, but if you believe, that's fine. I said, well, I do believe. So what would happen if we had kids? Then what? And I remember this one guy saying, well, you could take them to church. I said, so would you go? Well, no, but you could take them to church. I go, that'll never work. Kids are smart enough to know that'll never work. Mm-hmm. That was it. You're out. You're gone. You're really nice, but that's not going to work. And that was the end of that. That's a really good idea. We'll just tell the kids only one of us goes to church. Yes. I'm not kidding. You need to get to know people. I've watched people say they're Christians and go to church to hook up with somebody just to get them to marry them. I've witnessed it. And then they avoided marriage counseling. I watched Pastor Brad offer to do marriage counseling one time. I watched him physically take steps back. That's okay. And I thought, oh, what are you afraid of? What are you hiding? Got something to hide? Hey, got something to hide? I want to know about it up front. Hey, Brad and I had true confessions before we got married. We told each other everything. You know why? Because I wanted to go in knowing. I want to know what I'm getting into. You need to know what you're getting into when you walk into marriage. And there's nobody knows better than God, yes, your Father, right, who knows the hearts, yeah, of all men. The hearts of all men, the motives of all men. Oh, you're cute, sweet thing. I'll just go to church with you. Yeah, then let's go out to lunch afterwards. You're cute, sweet thing. Let's go to church. Oh, sure, honey, I love going to church. Let's go to church. Uh-huh. And then you get married. Hey, you need to listen to this. Why do you think God has me on this? 3 illustrations about marriage? You're real cute, sweet thing. You're real cute, sweet thing. Sure, I'll go to church. And you kind of like them, and they're kind of cute and handsome and good chemistry. And so you're thinking, okay, we'll just try to make this work. And then 2 months after somebody's married, you're real cute, cute thing. Why don't you go ahead to church? And then suddenly you realize it wasn't genuine in them at all. And you don't want that. And you know who knows that? God. He will protect you like no other. You just keep following Him. You do what's right. You follow His word. I'm going to do what's right. Because if I'm doing what's right, I know you're going to bless me. And if somebody else doesn't want to do it, that's their problem. Because I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to follow what's right, and I'm going to believe that the person you have for me is going to want to walk the same path. Yes. They're going to walk the same path. Yes. If they don't want to walk this path, I don't want to be with them anyway. Right. They're either going to walk this path, mm-hmm. or they're not for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to walk this path, this is my path. Right. This is the path I'm walking, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Your daddy will take care of you. Yeah. Your daddy will take care of you. You trust your daddy. You trust your daddy to pick that spouse out for you. You trust your daddy to lead you. You trust your daddy to tell you the things that you don't know. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll help you. He'll protect you. He's a good dad. Oh, he's a good dad. You go to him. Listen, you don't let those hormones go wild. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't let that chemistry go so wild that you refuse to take counsel, that you refuse to listen to a word of warning. You don't do it. Don't do it. Listen, I'm telling you now, while you're not in maybe some of these heated relationships, remember this, log this. He will protect you and help you. And he will give you a relationship that will be such a blessing and such a joy if you do it his way. And you wait on him for the right person. And then it'll be a blessing and a joy. And it'll be wonderful. Do it God's way. Do it God's way.